And welcome back to it's me, your boy Eli.
It's me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about a movie. We just come back from watching. It is Transformers Uno. Not Transformers Uno game, it's Transformers 1. Yeah, so this is an interesting movie. Not because, like, it's a... yes, I'm a Big Mac fan, but I also like Transformers. So over here is a big Transformer. Not a big Transformer. What would you call yourself?
I like Transformers. You know, obviously growing up with Transformers, I would definitely call myself a fan. I guess I wouldn't be like super
hardcore
because I remember watching some of the shows, not all of them. Like,
mm-hmm.
like I know like Prime was a big thing back in the day. I didn't really watch much of it, but you know, it's like I like the mythos, the universe, that sort of thing, right? You know, obviously the movies, some of them.
Yes. I remember liking the second one when I was a kid. Now growing up, I'm like, what was wrong with me?
Nah, I mean, you know, we can talk about the various various
crimes against humanity.
I mean, no. I mean, listen, as much as, you know, Michael Bay, I think, is a fine director, people have fond memories of the original Transformers trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Right, obviously, you know, 4 and 5, no one wants to talk about that.
No, it's not that.
So, I mean, you know.
Rise of the Beast was pretty okay from what I heard.
Bumblebee I really liked.
Yeah, it took you a while to get to watch that, I remember that.
Yeah, because, you know, it was like one of the things of like, do I really want to watch an origin movie with Bumblebee? Because it's like,
He was never your favorite.
Yeah, like, I get it, like, Bumblebee became popular because of the movies and stuff, you know, and it's like,
You even see that in this movie, too.
Yeah, you know, I mean... They definitely propped up Bumblebee and stuff nowadays. He's sort of like... He is very much like one of the more popular characters now. But yeah, point is, you know, we're talking about the new animated movie of Transformers 1.
Yeah, so essentially it's an origin story for those who... clearly this is made for a younger audience, but also clearly, because we came back from watching it, it's also very much for older fans as well, because there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, well, I know that. I know that, too. Oh, hey, it's you, so-and-so. And stuff like that. So, clearly, it's made for everyone. It's a movie that's made for everyone. But mainly just for kids. But it's essentially just the origin story of how Optimus became Optimus before, you know, as the trailer will tell you, before he was Optimus, he was Orion Pax. Before Megatron, he was D-16.
Mm-hmm.
And all that kind of stuff. And... really gonna centers around that kind of like relationship, just sort of like the would be doom of these two guys' relationship. And as those of you who are first time with us, what we'd like to do is give it like a minute of our thoughts on the movie, and then we get once we both give our thoughts, we go further into it. So Joe, you're gonna start us off with your 1 minute time.
So, Transformers 1, I think, is definitely one of the better Transformer movies to ever be made in this whole... anyways, Transformers 1, I really enjoyed it. I think it had a lot of fun action, a lot of good comedy. Definitely, I think, worth the price of admission, right? And it really does delve deep into the relationship between Orion Pax and D-16. You know, just setting up, like, a nice bit to origin and also seeing, like, that slow fall to, like, villainy that would eventually become Megatron and stuff. Like, it hits a lot of, like, cool factors for each of the characters' arcs. I guess the only thing I would probably say is sort of, I guess, when it comes to, like, the ancillary villains of the story, like, they're kind of like, But overall, you know, Transformers 1 is mainly just about that relationship and how that... between who would become Optimus and Megatron and how, you know, to seeing that all sort of transpire.
All right, you made it. So now it's my turn to give my 1 minute review. Transformers 1 is not only just a good origin story, but a good reintroduction to the world of Cybertron, and it's a very expansive mythos. It reintroduces you to essentially Megatron and Optimus' relationship, from probably a different lens than most people are used to. A lot of people just know them as villains. A lot of people don't know the origin of Optimus originally being Orion Pax, but now we know at the end of this movie But at the core is the, essentially the relationship between these two friends, and like I said before, the eventual downfall of that relationship. There's a lot of fun. There's a lot of comedy that is not only well done, but it's pretty much for kids. But some stuff that as adults you'd be okay with. Also, the action's really good. I agree with that. The only really negative would be the villains, but they kind of works to the advantage of the story, in my opinion. Alright, so I think that's a really good one to start off with, the villain. So the villain here, if it isn't obvious already, is Sentinel Prime. And well, I do agree that he isn't the most interesting. Well, he is an interesting villain. His motivations aren't really well. Are very cookie cutter, but his method, I think, is what makes him very compelling as a villain.
Yeah, I guess we won't get too much into like full main plot stuff.
Yeah.
This review will be mostly spoiler free, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it is, yes, yeah, I would probably, I understand sort of the I guess what they were going with Sentinel. I thought it was fine, at
Yeah.
the end of the day. It's sort of like, like it works
Because
given
it,
the context of the story and
yeah, it
stuff.
works in the context of the story, but it's mainly just to set up the real antagonist, which is essentially Megatron, right? That's kind of what it is. Like whatever, however you feel about what sense. I keep wanting to call him Zeta, but I know it's not Zeta.
No, it's straight assembly. I don't know what
Yeah.
you're, because I mean there is a Zeta Prime, but
Yeah. You know what's funny? Because like, I remember it from the games.
well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Sentinel Prime isn't in like I think you're thinking about the War for Cybertron games.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not in
Really
those
good
games.
games, guys. You can play that.
Yeah, no, I think that for a good chunk of people is where that whole like you got the whole origins, at least in terms of like the war between the Autobots and the Decepticons on Cybertron. But anyways, yeah. Yeah, to get back on the topic, Sentinel, we learn his motivations. It's definitely, he's more of like one of those conniving villains of like, he just wanted to take power and now he's just sort of like indulging himself a bit, right? Like, I don't know why it gave me like vibes from what was that dude's name? Commodus from Gladiator?
Joaquin Phoenix's character.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Because I mean, they have the whole like race bit. Like he's like, we just got back from trying to find the Matrix of Leadership, couldn't find it. Sorry about us. Anyways, let's have a race. I like seeing these races.
Yeah, he just wants to indulge in himself, and it's very much akin to, from my experience with the character of Sentinel Prime, which is like very self-centered. But like, yeah, he mostly is just there. And again, this isn't bad because you kind of get like what it's the real villain of the story. I feel is Megatron, and you kind of see his fall into villainy, and like it's an understandable motivation for him, and also it's just something that I was talking to you about is that that him and Orion Pax both want the same thing, but they both want to go about it in the most opposite way you can. In a very not a Magneto like Xavier way, but more in like whoa, dude, you didn't have to go that hard.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of an interesting comparison, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's mainly just sort of like just seeing, because I mean the whole thing about it is that Megatron is he feels deceived by like a lot of things and like he just sort of starts to kind of like I guess sort of radicalize himself
Yeah.
more and more into like just feeling like no, the only solution is to like get rid of Sentinel, right?
Yeah.
Like just go at it hard and stuff like, and you do get like that sort of bit of a moment. Like it's interesting because you do see, and obviously it's a nice little visual like representation of his fall of like his the color of his eyes,
Oh,
right?
yeah. So the color starts off as like yellow.
And as you sort of slowly get through the story, it starts to get more and more orange until finally at that last bit where he essentially takes on the mantle of Megatron, because obviously his
Yep.
original name is D16, you know, by the end, he's like, no, call me Megatron. Because, you know, like, in the original...
No, this isn't spoilers. They pretty much said it about the movie.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, that's this, again, like you said, it's the origin of how Optimus became Optimus, how Megatron became Megatron, right? You know, like, and it's an interesting sort of way of, like, how they, you know, like, the nice visual metaphor, right, of, like...
Yeah.
Of, like, his downfall, I guess.
There is a very, like, I would almost call, like, a very beautiful, you know, excuse the term, but transformation of both characters becoming who they are meant to be. So, you know, like, there's a moment where, yeah, this is Megatron being made through force and, like, rage, while, like, Orion becoming into Optimus is, like, something beautiful. like an actual transformation.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it is a nice way that they also framed the dichotomy of that,
mm-hmm.
since, you know, oh yeah, because, you know, that is sort of like the origin in a lot of media, that, you know, Optimus, or I guess Orion Pax, and then Megatron, they were friends, you know, before the war, and then...
Granted, that's some iterations, too.
That is true, because I know, I guess I believe G1... kind of already has Megatron being Megatron, and then Orion Pax is just kind of there.
Yeah, I remember looking it up, because I remember watching a bit of
Cause I know Transformers Prime. Yeah, because I know this one definitely takes reference from Transformers Prime, and, like, because that one...
Some of the other modern ones, too.
Yeah, some of the modern ones sort of have that origin of him, of them being friends and, like, being on the same side of, like, wanting to change Cybertron, but then eventually...
Well, yeah, and, like, the thing about it is, also, is that Transformers has been around for almost 40 years. Or exactly 40 years, right?
Since the 80s, yeah, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, because, like, if you haven't watched it, there's, like, a cool, like, animated sequence made by Studio Trigger where it just gives you, like, the whole spill of, like, 40 years. Because not only was Transformers, like, a big thing in over here in the States... It was also big for a while, not too long, as for us, in Japan, and they kind of had their own little series there.
Well,
too.
I mean, to be fair, the origins of Transformers is Japanese toys.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, I get what you're saying there, right?
Yeah, like there's like anime there that no regular person has heard over here in the States.
Yeah, and the whole Cybertron trilogy that we call, right,
yeah.
were animes that were made in Japan and then brought to the U.S.
That we grew up on. You and I grew up on.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because I was like, I always wondered, when are they going to show the mini-cons in the movies?
I mean, you know, it's, that's a...
Yeah.
To be fair, mini-cons are also kind of thing, I think, in regular things, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know, but... Yeah, it's one of those sort of, like, interesting things. But yeah, I guess we can talk a little bit about our other main characters, Bumblebee, which, I mean, he's not called Bumblebee, he's
called B.
You know, he's a B-147, something like that, you know, yeah. Like, the name that he's been given a lot in, like, the recent stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then you have Alita 1.
It's funny, because I, throughout the movie, I was like, there's a lot, like, that's Alita 1, but I see a lot of background characters, I'm like, why, that's the Alita 1 right there. That's her Gen 1 design.
No, you looked at RC.
Was that RC?
Yeah, pink robot with, like, the weird Leia hair buns looking.
Oh, I thought that was Alita 1.
Nope, that's RC.
Okay,
here's the thing, right? Because here's the thing, right? Because oftentimes in the Transformers lore, there's always... It's Alita 1 and RC. They're the only, like, really two female Transformers.
Because you know why.
I mean, yeah, because it's...
We got to market to the girls, too.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, but, you know, the point is there isn't a whole lot of female Transformers, so it was like, do we go with the RC, because she's, like, kind of the first one, at least
yeah.
the most popular one, or we go Alita 1, who I think is technically supposed to be actually the first female Transformer, I think in the comics or something,
mm-hmm.
So they went with Alita 1, which, I mean, it's fine, you know, I mean, heck,
I do like her character arc, to be honest, throughout the movie.
Yeah, because she's very much like, I don't care, I have my own life, I got stuck with being with you guys. But yeah, you know, it is kind of neat seeing her character progression and growth, right? You know, it's, you know, I think she's a solid character. Bumblebee, who is voiced by Keegan-Michael Key. I mean, you know, he's supposed to be the comic relief, and
it's... I find it funny they got Keegan-Michael Key, not only because he's a really good comedian, but because he's known for always being like quick with it, with the words. And here he plays Bumblebee, who is almost like, not to like an annoying degree, in my opinion, always talking.
Yeah.
Well, in the past few movies and like well-known iterations, he's been always silent.
Well, to be fair, with Bumblebee, like, the whole silent thing didn't show up until the first Michael Bay movie.
Exactly. But that's the one everyone goes to.
Yeah, because that's sort of, yeah, that movie, the whole trilogy popularized Bumblebee, right? That's the one that people most go to. And, you know, they've sort of ridden around of like, oh, yeah, he used to talk, but then he got, you know, his voice thing, you know, injured, right? That's, you know, we've seen that happen a lot. I think Bumblebee, the movie, starts out with that, him talking. Mm-hmm. He's not a wisecracker necessarily, but, you know.
No, but, like, in that's what I'm saying. Like
it is a neat little fun bit, right? Yeah. Of, like, there's even a moment where some characters, you know, bolt something on him to end the show up, and, you know, they're just like, he gets to pull it off, and he's like, oh, I can finally talk again. And it's like, I told you it wasn't tight enough. It's like, we got to get him to stop talking, please. He's annoying us.
But he hasn't talked in the last few in, like, almost all the movies.
Yeah, so, you know, again, it's a nice change of, like, for people to see, like, oh, yeah, this is Bumblebee. A bit different from how most of the mainstream has seen him. And I think, because I know they have said they're making a sequel to this.
Yeah. They're making they haven't confirmed that they are making a lot more sequels, but this is probably the most popular one that they come out with.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Well, I mean, the thing about, you know, the origins of Transformers is that the whole Civil War thing is really interesting when you look at it.
Yeah.
Like, from a story perspective, like, that whole arc is just really, like, an interesting place to go. And, you know, a lot of Transformers stuff has explored it a bit. Obviously, you have the War for Cybertron games. You have that Netflix series, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the War in the Fall, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's been multiple medias that take a look at that sort of moment in Transformers history because it is very interesting.
Yeah, and they do set up that Cybertron as kind of its own thing because I think this is the only time... I haven't seen any of the recent movies. I know supposedly one of them has to involve Unicron. I think it was Rise of the Beast. I don't know.
I believe so, kind of.
But, like, a lot of people, I think, don't know that in some iterations, Cybertron was once a giant goddamn robot.
Yeah, that's the... I believe a lot of iterations have Cybertron not just being, like, a regular, like, metal planet or whatever. It was the body of their god Primus or whatever.
Yeah. And, like, Unicron was the devil.
Yeah, pretty much. They had a whole conflict, you know, that whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, it is, I guess we can talk a little bit, the pivot a bit, about Optimus himself, coached by Chris Hemsworth. You know, I thought he did a great job.
Oh, no, he did good. He did good. He tried not to be Peter Cullen. It's all he had to be Peter Cullen.
Well, to be fair, even then, like, because I think that's something that a lot of voice actors that, you know, take up. Because, I mean, the thing is, Peter Cullen, I think he still does Optimus for some stuff, not all of stuff.
No. He needs a break sometimes.
Yeah, because he's, like, in his 80s, he's old, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the issue with some of the people they get to voice Optimus in some stuff, like, they try really hard to imitate Peter Cullen's voice.
And that's kind of the thing about Chris Hemsworth that I really like, that he even said in interviews, like, I'm not going to do Peter Cullen.
Yeah,
like no.
Yeah, because it's just kind of like a lazy way. It's like, it reminds me of, I forget what exactly I remember seeing this from, but for a moment of time, they had the voice of the guy that does Honest Trailers.
Yeah, he's in this movie, too.
Isn't he a...
He's a Soundwave.
Is he?
The cassette guy? Who's the cassette guy?
Yeah, it's Soundwave.
Yeah, he's Soundwave.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, with Soundwave, it's always like...
A slightly distorted.
Yeah, very distorted robot voice, so...
Yeah.
You know, that's how Frank Welker, the original voice actor for Soundwave in the
cartoon. Frank Welker's still around, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But, anyways, yeah, like I was saying, you know, they had him do the voice for Optimus for something, like some promotions, and I think people were just like, he just tries to... I think they want him to do the voice of Optimus for, like, a cartoon, and it's like, just... For like, a commercial or whatever, yeah, maybe, but, like, for a cartoon...
Well, he did do the voice for the TV show, the Netflix shows, which... I don't think he was bad, but it's, I think I get what you're coming from, where he tries to be too much like Peter Cullen.
Yeah.
Because I think I have heard of him doing, like, an Optimus voice that isn't trying to be very much Peter Cullen, and it turns out pretty okay, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, I do agree that him trying to be too much Peter Cullen is, like, not there. Because I'm always thinking about that one voice actor who voiced a lot of the other projects that Peter Cullen wasn't in, that a lot of people were clamoring for him to be the voice of Optimus Primal.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I forget his name. I'm so sorry. But, like, yeah, because he's, like, the closest thing you get to, like, an almost a perfect...
Yeah, in the original Beast Wars and stuff. And yeah. Then he was the voice for Optimus in subsequent shows, like the Unicron... The Cybertron Trilogy or whatever.
Yeah, because they... Gary Chalk is his name.
Yeah, like, he's... he's been... Because that was the funny anecdote for me was that when the original Michael Bay movies came out, you know, as someone who didn't grow up with OGG1 and hearing Peter Cullen's voice, right,
yeah.
I was like, man, that's a pretty good Optimus voice. I wonder, you know, who it is. And it's like, oh, it's this guy? And then it's like, wait, hold on, he's not the voice of the Optimus that I remember watching as a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's like, hey, huh, that's weird.
Yeah, no, and then you're like, oh, wait.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
But even then, Gary Chalk kind of does it in a different voice, too.
Yeah, he has his own take on the character. And I think that's the nice thing with Chris Hemsworth, and I appreciate that he did say that, right? Like, this is his own sort of take for the character.
Like, there's still a little bit of Peter Cullen in there, like I said.
Well, yeah, when he fully becomes Optimus, you kind of hear that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's like, yeah, no.
Because he's a totally different character. He's a Ryan Pax. Yeah, because he's a Ryan Pax. But he comes from a different, like, mentality. Because whenever I looked up anything involving when he was a Ryan Pax, he was just kind of like a scholar. Just a librarian. Because he was a librarian, right?
In the Prime show, I believe he was a librarian, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, he was just like a very studious kid. And here it's like, no, I'm kind of like, I want to be, like, you know, I want to see what's out there.
You know, like, yeah, I want to find my purpose, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to be, like, in these mines and stuff.
Yeah.
We're meant for more, damn it.
which kind of brings it into, like, Brian Tyler Henry's Megatron, which I really do like his voice for it.
Yeah.
Cause like he goes very soft, and then like once he becomes more Megatron, he becomes more vicious.
Yeah.
And it's really good, and it's the character arc for that again. Like it's probably the highlight of this movie, just seeing those two friends be
tear apart.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just the whole movie, and it's like, damn, I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, cause you know, the way you know this whole you know. Tragic fall for Megatron. It's pretty classic, right? Like it reminds you of something, say like the fall of Anakin, right, in Star Wars movies,
yeah.
Right? It's what you know going into like the prequels, like Anakin will fall, right?
Yeah.
Like there's gonna be the moment, right? And same thing here, right? There's gonna be the moment where D-116 no longer is him. He is now Megatron.
Which I'm surprised, like they went so early in the not early in the movie, but like just they kept it into one movie. Because, like, the thing that people do like about, like, the prequels, like, I'm kind of, like, eh on them, honestly, is, like, the eventual fall of them. But then, to me, that takes, like, oh, God, it takes forever. Here, it's like, oh, okay, we're going straight for it.
Well, I mean, yeah, to be fair, it's more of, like, I think the movie gets, especially if we're getting sequels or whatever for it, I think the movie gets and understands that making Megatron into who he is probably a lot more interesting than sort of like if it's all in one single like you know contained story rather than like pointing it across like multiple like stories or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's pretty easy to get behind Megatron or at least understand his motives. Like, yeah, you know, I'm tired of Sentinel's bullshit or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I, you know, there's no need for the primes and stuff. We must, you know, rise up and stuff. And then obviously you see just like that slow corruption as well as like you know as you know having good intentions but also going about it in very 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 extreme ways, right?
Yeah, and oh man, it's just the those two guys did a really good job of the film. And no, yeah, I there's the one thing I will say as positive as I can is that I really do love that they kind of fleshed out a little bit. It wasn't like over like vomiting on it, like, you know, but it was like they gave you like small little things that sort of introduced you to the idea of Cybertron being kind of like more alive.
Yeah, it was interesting to see the planet surface and like the other. Well, I mean, granted, as someone that is a bit scientifically nerdy and stuff, kind of weird they had robot deer.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, at the same time, though, the fact that there are, like, the little antlers light up when it's, like, they sense danger, pretty cool. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, man, robot deer just sounds weird.
It's supposed to, like, give you the idea of, like, nature but machine.
Fair enough. And to be fair, we did see one of the primes transform into, like, some sort of animal-looking thing.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where you kind of have to establish why some Transformers can transform into vehicles, and some into, like, animals, and in some iterations, dinosaurs. Your favorite.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. Mm. I will say this, though. They do bring up, they have a character, Rachne, who I'm pretty sure is from, like, I don't exactly know when she first showed up in Transformers lore, but it is kind of interesting, because it's like, okay, she's clearly, like, a spider, inspired by a spider stuff. She even has, like, 8 eyes and stuff. But yet she transforms into, like, this weird, like, helicopter drone thing.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, I was kind of expecting her to turn into a spider, really, with the name
Maybe
of, like,
Maybe because
Arachne.
they haven't reached Earth yet.
Fair enough. But again, you know, you saying that, they have robot deer, so it's like, what the fuck?
Fair.
That's probably a nitpick
they
for me.
They also have plant life.
Well, to be fair, it's like, it seems like the analogy is, like, organic.
Yeah.
Like, not synthetic like they are.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. And I do kind of want to see what the deal with that is, because, you know, their whole war with the Quintessons has been happening for a while.
Oh, that's another thing we could probably talk about, the fact they introduced the Quintessons.
Yeah, honestly, I forgot about that point. But yeah, there's that sly plot. You know, it's kind of like a bit of an inciting thing of like, oh, there was the war between the Primes and the Quintessons, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, so I wonder if that sort of ties in, like, you know, because they are often very depicted as, like, kind of machine and organic.
Yeah, even this one kind of gave that vibe.
Yeah, so it's like, I wonder if that's sort of like where all that stuff comes from.
Do they show those guys in the other movies?
Obviously they're in the original, the first Transformers movie, the animated one from 86, I think.
Yeah.
And I believe technically they show up in Transformers 5. But it's a character, Quintessa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
like,
yeah.
She is the one, because the whole point is, like, she mind controls Optimus to be evil for a bit.
Mm.
You know, because, like, you know, we were the creators and stuff, which they don't go with that route here, obviously, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Here.
But were they in the original?
In the original show?
Yeah.
Show? Yeah, they show up after the movie, pretty much. Like, they're the new threat.
Oh,
along
okay.
with Galvatron. Sorry, I believe that's how that works. Because I feel like they don't really go from most other shows don't really go into the Quintessons or whatever. Because I guess they're just kind of they really are kind of weird.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, how do we explain this?
Maybe in the comics.
Yeah, I think the comics probably definitely, but for most shows and stuff, it's like, yeah, this is kind of weird. Because I think they want like a lot of shows like to focus more on. Unicron, because I mean, to be fair, Unicron is sort of
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, he's Galactus, but a robot, you know, and transforms into a planet.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's
it's like Galactus,
one iteration of
Galactus, the Death Star into one, right?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Very
right?
cool.
But yeah, I think
voiced by Orson Welles.
Yep, the last role of the late great Orson Welles, who was just like, I'm just voicing, I think, a toy that eats other toys, I think. I don't know.
And like, bro, that's like the most iconic villain in the show.
Yeah, it's the most iconic villain in Transformers history, and he's just kind of like, I'm just
I was a Shakespearean actor, damn it.
I mean, it's not even from contempt, he's just like, eh, this is just my life now.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think that's about it.
Yeah. Unless you want to also mention how Orson Welles never liked standing up.
I don't know. That's a weird story. I can't really remember fully about that, but no. It is. I mean, he got fat.
Not the same, but he got really tired.
Listen, it happens to old people, right?
Yeah.
Final thoughts and rating.
I think this is probably one of the best. The ongoing meme right now is like it took him like 40 years to get this good. And to which I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's one of those things where like if you never really like looked into like how complex surprisingly something like Transformers can be, this is probably your best example. Because there are times where there were moments where I'm like, man, this is kind of hitting the real life right now. And a lot of stuff that you can kind of relate. It's kind of one of the beautiful things about some of these storytellings. Like even though it's for like clearly made for kids, there's some stuff for adults that rings true to now, in my opinion. This is probably one of the best examples of like really good animated content for people, which is like coming off of a really good year after like Into the Spider-Verse. Across the Spider-Verse. Because like we have this one, we have Inside Out 2, and like I haven't seen Inside Out 2, but I know Ultraman Rising was up there in like one of the best animated shows to come out this year. So for me, I probably give this like a good old like. It's not perfect because there's some things that I'm like it's for me it's like a little gripes, but I'll probably give it like something around like an 8 out of 10.
I honestly will say like I definitely agree. It's probably one of the best Transformers movies they've done. I do find it funny people say that it's like I'll take them for like 40 years, which is like I don't know. I still would argue that the first Michael Bay Transformers is the best out of all the live action movies.
No, because that was simple straight to the point.
Like that one and Bumblebee, I think, are the top two live action Transformers movies. But I think this one definitely takes the cake in terms of this would be like joining them in a trifecta of like good, actually really good Transformers movies.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, you know, I think the movie definitely highlights and shows just how interesting and like unique and the capability of storytelling within Transformers is, which is like I think a lot of people are just like it's just giant robots fighting each other, like it doesn't have to be that complicated. It's like, well, yeah, but you can see like the details and like the world building and stuff, and just how all this is sort of like
there's a reason why it's a really good like sci-fi thing.
Yeah, like there's a reason why this, you know, Transformers has lasted this long is because it's full of like interesting directions you can go with just a robot civil war on a metal, you know, on a robot planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many interesting things you can do and get from like characters and stuff, which is why I feel like I'm gonna go with a 9 out of 10 for me.
All right.
I mean, granted, part of it is probably Transformers bias because I like Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think
you don't have that much of Transformer bias. You really have some issues with a lot of the Bay movies.
That is true. My love for Transformers is also what fuels me to be hypercritical about the Transformers movies. Like
you're
I said,
still upset about Grid. What's his name? The T-Rex one.
Grimlock and No, because again, it's like, you know, I'm not gonna get deep into it. The point is, I'm pretty sure I remember when the fourth one came out, and you know, it was like Dinobots, and it's like I know as much as I like the Dinobots, I'm not gonna watch it because I know I'm gonna hate the movie. Which, you know, years later and having seen it and stuff, it's like this movie's ass. I knew it was gonna be ass. Thank God I didn't waste my money on this movie or Transformers 5. Honestly, you know, I'm glad those movies failed because now we have shit like this. We have Transformers 1, we have Bumblebee.
Give it a
minute
because we're also getting the G.I. Joe Transformers movie.
To be fair, that could be cool.
That could be cool.
That's always been like an interesting crossover between Hasbro properties. I just pray to God it doesn't go any weirder than that. Out of nowhere, fucking Pinkie Pie and Fluttershy and all the other fucking My Little Ponies show up and it's like, sup? You're part of the... Your whole universe just got a lot more stranger now, Optimus Prime. What the fuck is this? The hell?
God, I got hit with a lot of...
The Monopoly Man shows up? What the fuck?
Jesus.
But anyways, I think that's about it for us, right?
Yeah, that's about it for us. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. all the like, and on Instagram we have a link to all the podcasts and sites. We're pushed apart on like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Castbox, all that like, and a link to the YouTube for all your listeners out there who want to put a face to the voice and check us out from there. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and yeah, we are good. That's the end of the episode. Transformers 1, it's a really good movie. Like, yeah, I gave it an 10, but that was a really good movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, you see me, your boy, Eli.
See me, Joe.
Yes, have a good one. Peace.